The following content is provided by MIT OpenCourseWare under a Creative Commons license. Additional information about our license and MIT OpenCourseWare in general is available at ocw.mit.edu.
I'm Nolan Bowie. I'm a senior fellow and adjunct lecturer in public policy at the Kennedy School of Government, Harvard University. This is my concise, short summary version of literacy policy, which is a facet of information policy, per se. What is literacy? Literacy is a lot more than the ability to read and write and do simple computational skills. But even with those basic skills, close to half of the adult population in the United States has insufficient skills. They're at levels 1 and 2, the bottom 2 ranks of literacy. In essence, they become dysfunctional the deeper we go into the information age, into the knowledge economy, which requires new skills, higher skills. It requires lifelong learning. It requires the ability to learn how to learn. What we need, well, let me tell you, there's no single literacy. I don't see the term literacies often written down, but sometimes it is. But literacy itself, it encompasses not only alphanumeric literacy or text in prose, but also what is increasingly called information literacy or networked literacy or technology literacy or civic or political literacy. Literacy is an enabling tool. Literacy itself is a technology. It changes as fast as the technologies of communications change. Literacy is a basic skill which we need to communicate. I would add that not only does it provide one with the means of critical thinking, but also critical acting. And the reason that literacy is required of everyone is because we don't live to be 200. And we get most of our information vicariously from the outside. And literacy is sort of a skill of, it's a pull technology skill. It's when we want information, we know where to go and we can pull it out of a resource, as opposed to a lesser literacy skill of being a good listener or viewer and having information pushed at us, like, say, a television station will push out information through a signal, or the internet increasingly is pushing information following the television model. When that happens, you're more apt to get propaganda. What's the difference between propaganda and other kind of information? Sometimes not a lot. But the propagandist tends not to disclose who the person is or what their agenda is or what their motives are, and sometimes you may not agree with it. So you sort of endanger yourself. Throughout the world, there are literacy or illiteracy is a substantial problem. I have a chart here, which I will make available to you, with a listing of nations with the worst literacy record in the world. At the top of the list is Niger, in which 79% of the males and 93% of the females, and I assume that the population is even in terms of gender, so 86% of the adult population is illiterate. Burkina Faso, 81%. Nepal, 72.5%. Mali, 69%. And it goes down. These same nations have the shortest life expectancy at birth and probably the lowest quality of life in other areas. Can literacy turn it around? Not of and by itself. Literacy is an enabling technology. Literacy is both content and information technology. We have to guarantee universal access to all facets of literacy. The term digital divide tends to refer to a recognition that people are better off if they have access to the internet and internet connectivity and PCs or an internet appliance. Well, I disagree with that somewhat. What I think is essential is ready universal access to universal ready access to relevant information. And what's relevant information? Well, it depends on the individual's needs, or societal needs, or the group or organizational needs. What's relevant? And it's also time sensitive. And you have to look at also the quality of that information. Next, you need, because information is increasingly available only in electronic or digital format, ready access to appropriate information technology, which may or may not mean the internet, but in many cases may mean a book, a tutor, a pencil and paper, again, what is appropriate for that individual to understand, and within a language that that person can understand. Again, the internet right now is mostly English. 80% of the websites, that may change. 10 years from now, may be mostly in Mandarin or some other language. We don't know. Is the problem of illiteracy confined to third world or developing countries? No. I have an article here that appeared in the Boston Globe, dated September 15, 1995, where it says that almost half of the adults in the state don't read well. They read at the lowest levels, 1 and 2. More recent article in the Washington Post from last year said that 65% of the adults in the District of Columbia read at levels 1 and 2, the lowest levels of literacy, which means that they would be dysfunctional in an information-based, knowledge-based economy. They would lack the skills to be productive, creative, self-realized, all that they can be. More recent, also last year, the article from the Globe, and I just cut out the part on the statistics, that show reading gaps. This is a study done by the National Assessment of Educational Progress that shows that it's an assessment of reading proficiency levels within the fourth grade. 63% of black school children in the fourth grade are not reading at proficiency levels. 58% of Hispanic or Latino kids, 57% of American Indians or Native Americans are also reading below level, whereas 27% of whites are reading at below level, and 22% of Asian Pacific Islanders are reading at that low level. You might ask why Asian Pacific Islanders read have better reading skills, since they tend to be bilingual, bicultural, than native-born whites. Good question. I think part of the reason for low reading scores among blacks is still a residue of a history of having been slaves and having laws that prohibited the teaching of blacks how to read or write, and then followed by a long history of inferior schools and Jim Crow segregation, and also expectation and continued disparity in terms of quality of school and education, which comes to another question. Can we afford to have large or even small portions of our population, of our workforce, having inadequate skills to participate in the emerging global knowledge-based economy? Because what's implied by globalization is competition. What's implied by competition is winners and losers. So the question is, who ought to win? If it's us, who is us? Is it all of us? Or should the beneficiaries of our public policies just be wealthy, those who already have had advantages and privileges, or of multinational corporations, or corporations per se, since they're not necessarily citizens? Or should we look at it more broadly and say that what makes America America, what makes our society, is its people. They're the citizens, they're the consumers, they're the workforce. And if so, how should we go about investing in them in terms of ensuring that they have literacy skills? Literacy skills never stop. They're always advancing. They're always changing. So how do we go about providing lifelong learning opportunities to the entire population? I would suggest a radical legislation based on our own history. After the Soviet Union successfully launched Sputnik, Congress during the Eisenhower administration passed the National Defense Education Act. that Eisenhower administration also created the federal highway system based on national defense rationale. So the nature of the world, post-Cold War world, is increasingly one about competition for markets and domination of markets. If that's true, to the extent that it is true, again, what's being sold in the markets in many cases are information products, information services. How do we enable our population to acquire those skills and continue to develop them? I would suggest something like a National Defense, Education, Communications, and Information Act. So the government provides the means that we can all be all that we can be. That right now we can no longer afford to incarcerate, say, more than 2 million people and take them not only out of the workforce, but keeping them away from relevant information and knowledge and literacy. The 1992 landmark study on literacy in the United States showed that, in particular, illiteracy was associated with low incomes and poverty, with welfare, with incarceration. So there may be a nexus or a link between that. Give people adequate literacy early on, and perhaps they'll be more successful. Another project or program I think we ought to take a hard look at is universal access to preschool. By the time they're in the fourth grade, it may be too late. Everyone ought to have information advantages if, in fact, we're going to be competitive in the information age. Where do we go from here? How do we mobilize? How do we get others to talk about literacy as being important? Why literacy in the first place? We make an assumption that we need it for the workforce, but we also need it to become effective citizens, and democracy itself needs a literate citizenry in order to keep it in check. Democracy, in the final analysis, is a system of governance based not on trust, but on distrust. And as such, it requires that those who govern, the representatives of the people, have to be accountable to the people. It requires that citizens are informed, not just informed, but well-informed, enough to know whether or not they're being adequately served. Because if you read the Bill of Rights, for example, or the Declaration of Independence, citizens have a duty to put in a new government if, in fact, it is not serving the will of the people. So the people have a responsibility to know, and the only way they can do that is through literacy. And that also explains this new kind of literacy, this new emerging literacy, or what we're recognizing as a new literacy, civic literacy, which may also be referred to as political literacy. The results of a literate population is not only people who can read and utilize tools effectively to maneuver through their environments. It enables them to think and act critically. And I'll stop there.